So welcome to week three of our Slaying the Giant series. And some of you might remember 2 weeks ago, before a lot of things happened at school, that we looked at the giant of doubt. Anyone remember something that we said? How do we get rid and slay this giant of doubt? Yes, Dale. Look at your problems through God's eyes. And David? God is bigger. God is better than that situation. Oh, yes. And power up. Yes. Oh, power up with the Bible, prophecy, and songs. So that's how you slay the giant of doubt. And then we looked in the next week at the giant of, what was it? Of fear. Not a very nice guy to meet. If you remember CK's message on that last Sunday, she said we need to trust God. I can't remember. What was it? Hey? Use the weapons, maybe? And? Yes? Ask God for help. Okay, look at that. Trust God. Ask God for help. And yes, arm yourself. Use the weapons. Okay? So today we're going to be thinking about conformity. Now, we're in this story where the people are moving from Egypt in captivity across the Red Sea into the Promised Land. And God does a miracle to get them across the Red Sea. It's a picture of your conversion experience if you've come to know Jesus and given your life to Him. Because in Egypt, it symbolizes that you are captive and you're under the evil one's control. Not one of you were born a Christian. There is no such thing as being born a disciple of Jesus. You can be born South African. You can be born even Kenyan. But you cannot be born a Christian. You are born outside of the kingdom and under the evil one's control. It's not my idea. It's in the good book, right? But at some point, through what Jesus did for you, you become a follower of Jesus. And then you start to enter into your promised land. Now, Moses, some of his last words to the Israelites were things like, when you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. You will be tempted to imitate. And he says again, do not worship their gods or serve them or act like them. Now, I want to tell you a story today about a time, and it's actually something that happens in Israel's history through what's known as the time of the judges, where everything is going perfect. People are coming to youth group, worshiping in church. They are going to the SCA in their school, and suddenly they begin to rebel against God and to sin. And so what God does is He lets people come and bash them. Some big bullies from three grades higher them come up to them and give them a hard time and enslave them and make them give their pocket money to them every week. And then they cry out and say, God, I've got no pocket money for airtime. Help, I promise I'm going to serve you. So God says, okay, if you promise to serve me, I'm going to send Joe to come and save you. Because Joe's big, not that Joe, this big dude Joe with bad breath. And Joe walks up and he sorts out the big bullies from grade 12. And all goes well for a while because you start to worship God again. But sadly, in the situation we find ourselves with the Israelites, here's how the cycle plays out. So they worship God. They go to the temple. But before you know it, they are worshiping the gods of the other nations around them. And so what God does in where we are in our story in Judges chapter 3, in that area of Judges 1 to 3, the Moabites come and they oppress the Israelites. But here's what happens. Something very interesting happens. God finds someone who's left-handed, a Benjamite. Now, if I'm right-handed, right, where would I anchor the sword on my body? Where would I put it? I'm not going to obviously put this in my pocket, right? Why? Because it's going to go right through my pocket. Plus, I may never have children if I do that, right? So just a tip to the guys, if you're going to war, you don't put your knife in your pocket, right? What you do is you put it on the other side. Ne? Can I put it over there and get the sword out? No, but if I put it down here, what can I do? Very easily, and before you know it, the man is dead. I'm glad I didn't penetrate you too far, because that would have been a bit bloody. So here's what happens. This guy is left-handed. Now think about this for a moment. If you're left-handed, where do you put your sword? Opposite side, right? And you'll need like a different shaped scabbard so that it's a bit different. This incidentally was made by a Touareg chap that I met in Burkina Faso in Ouagadougou. And he made it for me. And these are genuine camel bone on the back here, and you can see it later. But don't stab each other. So here's what happens. Let me tell you the story of young Ehud. And I don't know how many of you have heard this story. It's rather fascinating. He offers to deliver the tribute, the tax that they have to pay to this other king. It's like the big bully says, I want your pocket money. So Ehud says, I'll take him. And so what he does is he takes his sword and he puts it on the right side. Why? Left-handed, ne? And so what he does is he heads off to the king. He brings his tribute, a big bag of gold and food, whatever the king wants from the Israelites. And he says, here's the tribute. And just before he's going, he says, one more thing. I got a message from God for you. And I have to tell you in secret, because it's like a secret. It's a message just for you. And so the king says, everybody out, but before you go, won't you search Ehud? So they pat him down. But he's left-handed. They don't know that. And so what he does, he says, here, I've got God's message for you. Pulls out the sword, and he sinks it into the king's belly. The king is, let's just say the king is well endowed, so that when the sword went in, his fat closed, it's not my story, it's a Bible story, the fat so closed over the sword that Ehud could not get his sword out of the king. The whole dagger sword, it's a 1.5-foot sword, so exactly that length. And the king lies dying on the ground, and he slips out, and everyone thinks that the king is maybe relieving himself because there's such a bad odor in the room. Okay, so the guards don't come there for maybe 3 hours, and it's this embarrassing scene. I want you to think for a moment of what goes on when we enter into our promised land, like the children of Israel, and we're told to obey the Lord, to avoid the detestable practices, and we begin to do things that we shouldn't do. I don't know if you know what that picture is about. That God is Moloch. What you would do, ladies, you would bring your baby, your firstborn child, and you would put the baby child on his golden arms, and the baby will start rolling into the fiery belly, and your baby would burn alive as an offering to that God. Not cool, right? Not nice? This is what the Israelites were tempted to do. Can you begin to understand why God will allow his people to come under tough times? Because of the stuff they've done. The Israelites were exiled, according to 2 Kings 17, because they worshipped other gods and followed the practices of pagan nations. Pagan means those who don't believe in the Lord. You know, this giant of conformity, I want to show you that you've probably faced it. Who's seen this movie? Okay, here we go with a clip from the movie. Here's some of the statements. He speaks about how everyone started off with their own stride and pace. He defines conformity, the difficulty in maintaining your own beliefs in the face of others. It's hard, huh? To keep your own beliefs when others are doing something else. We all have a great need for acceptance, but you must trust that your beliefs are unique, your own. Even though others may think them odd or unpopular, or the herd may go, that's bad. Find your own walk, swim against the stream. Not easy, because we tend to clap, right? We tend to go together. This giant, you know it maybe, as Mr. or Mrs. Peer Pressure. I want you to think about some of the things where you may be tempted to conform. Maybe you've got enough clothes, or maybe you don't need that item, but you're like, I've got to have it. And you're like, why do I have to have it? Well, because all my friends have it. Maybe when you offered that bit of weed, you're like, I don't really like smoking because it's going to discolor my teeth. But you know what? I'm going to do it. Why? Because I don't know if I can say no to that. Maybe you're the only person without a drink in your hand, either at school or at university, and maybe you're thinking like, to fit in here, I really knew what need to do what everyone else is doing. Maybe you don't really feel like saying horrible things about that person, but my friend wants to and talk and gossip and I don't know. It's like so hard not to. But everyone's downloading songs for nothing from the internet. No one in their right mind in the 21st century buys songs. We can just steal them on the internet. And movies. And my friend's got the latest movie. Or I can buy it at the robot. There's a guy selling them, you know? I can just do what I want. I remember being a soldier, and when I'd put on my brown clothes, it was so hard not to start swearing. I think that the swear words were in the pockets and stuff, you know, in the webbing that we would use to store our bullets and ammunition. And it's like, can be so hard because everyone around you is doing it. They shouldn't be here. They shouldn't be taking our jobs. You don't really believe that, but you've heard others say that. And you feel like, hey, I need to be a bit xenophobic too, you know? Think about it. They were told, don't imitate their practices. Don't worship their gods. I don't think you bow down to that. I don't think any of us are going to be tempted to bow down to real gods. But maybe other kinds of gods, just once or twice. Nothing wrong with a bit of money. Heck, you can't go to school without some money for petrol, but maybe there's a line where it's not just now about money, but it's about I'm worshiping the money and technology. I mean, I'm using a Mac. Is this drawing me away from God or leading me closer to Him? If it's drawing me away from God, I need to have a burning. I don't know what it's going to burn like, but I'm going to have to spread petrol on it and set it alight because it's become an idol, a god. Anything I'm giving more focus and attention to than God, I need to deal with it. You see, you must have a story. So I want you to turn to someone next to you, and I don't know what you're tempted with to conform to the patterns and the practices of this world, but I want you to share how you've been tempted to conform to the world around you, maybe in the last week. Okay, there you go. And it's tell them that you will use my sword if they ever share with anyone else the deep secret you're sharing with them now. And the sword's here if you want to kill anyone. Some years ago, we had a series here. You know, on Sundays, we always have a series. So we're in the Giants Lair series. We did one called Supernatural. Some of you around maybe for that kind of goes back a good number of years. And we unpacked this verse, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to have you say it with me a few times with some slides. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Okay, say it with me, and the words are going to be down on the bottom of each slide. 1, 2, 7. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. I'm going to do it one more time. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed, how? By renewing your mind. You see, Giant wants you to conform to the world. He wants you to look and act and think like everyone else around you. That verse, Romans 12:2, in one translation says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't let it shape you. So don't you be shaped by the world around you. Another, this more standard one that I started with says, do not conform. Don't you love that? The one fish is going the other way. Maybe he knows something. Maybe there's some stuff upstream that he's heading to. Do not. This is the Message translation. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So you and your culture just become, that's cool. It's our culture's Christian. This is a Christian country. Not. And my friends aren't all Christians. Even Camp Rock says don't fit in, stand out, for heaven's sake. Now, obviously, that's about singing and being your own unique voice. But I think the principle and the application applies. So Giant wants you to conform to the world, but who else is there in the equation? God wants you to transform the world. Okay, now God's not an old man. But I hope you don't get distracted. Because it's our Creator is saying, don't conform to the world, but I want you to transform the world around you. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if we start to set the pace and people behind us are conforming to us? That'll be cool if we follow in Jesus. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I actually need to be saying to people, you can follow me. Why? Not because I'm like someone special, but because I'm following after Jesus. And so there are these two competing options now. To either I'm going to conform or I'm going to transform. Anyone know what that is? A thermometer. What does it do? Measures the temperature in the world, okay? I don't know if you know just now, but the temperature was a bit high, right? CK put one of these on, and suddenly we probably at what temperature, CK? 20 degrees Celsius. She knows that because there's a thermometer on that little remote control. The thermometer is changed by the environment. The thermometer cannot change the environment, right? It can have no control over the temperature. It can only measure it. There's another thing. It looks like a safe, right? And someone's going to crack the safe, but it's not. Anyone know what that is? Thermostat. What does that do? It regulates the temperature, changes it. It's actually normally linked to a furnace or something, or to a war heating thing, or to this. That little remote control is linked to these things, which actually bring air. If you look from the outside of the building, there's those white, like air conditioning units. This is just an air flow duct thing. So the thermostat is actually bringing change into the environment. What are you? Are you a thermometer? Are you thermostat? And maybe in different situations, we're one or the other, you know? But are you being changed or are you bringing changed? I've used this before. I know that because I remember Bianca had it as her status or as her profile pic at one point. But Satan wants you to be a conformer, but Jesus wants you to be a transformer. Two very different things. Now, I've tried to illustrate this with something that I found, so I hope you don't mock my grade one artwork here. But the world is molding me from the outside through things like fads. You know, you get trends that are more enduring, and you get fads that come and go, maybe from jokes that I tell or words or some dirty stories maybe, music, movies, habits, styles, and there's a host of things that would seek to, from the outside, mold me into something that I'm not or shouldn't be. That's conformed. However, Christ wants to transform me from the inside out through things like love, joy, peace, you know, this fruit of the Spirit and satisfaction. And hearing of his word, and we'll talk later about what is it going to be that's going to actually bring this change. And so I can either be conformed, it's a bad word, it's got the word con in it, you know, like I'm a con, right? Or I'm going to be transformed. I'm going to let the Lord transform me from the inside out. So now that I've ruffled your feathers a bit this morning, you must be thinking like, well, I don't want to be conformed. I don't want to look like everyone else. I don't want to sacrifice who I am to the herd. I want to go God's way. So what is it going to take for you to slay the giant of conformity? Can we stick in that Romans 12 passage the whole morning for this, right? In the next few minutes. Because I believe that in that Romans 12 passage, up until about verse 13 at least, there's some great examples, guidelines. The first way that you can that you can slay the giant of conformity is to offer your body. We're going to have burnings afterwards on an altar downstairs. Because this verse actually says, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. The good news for you this morning is that word living. If that word wasn't there, you'd be in big trouble. Because then we would need to use this. And it would get messy, and then I'd have to visit all your parents and say, no, it's okay, because they followed Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And the parent would say, but didn't you read it closely? It said a living sacrifice. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't notice that. You might want to have a funeral this week. In a way, we're dead. We are living sacrifices. A sacrifice wasn't coming back. It wasn't going to be returned. It is the walking dead. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And I'm not into zombies, but it's like you are the living dead. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the... You have to see yourself like that. You have to present yourself to God. God, I'm a sacrifice to you. Do with me what you want. Just don't let it be messy. As obedient children, this is 1 Peter 1, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. So remember that old days in Egypt, he's saying, don't live like that. Don't conform to the evil desires. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in some of the things that you do. Did I make a mistake? In all you do. It's a very little word, but it's a very big word. I'm sure you'd agree. Okay? Be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. It gets even more explicit in 1 Thessalonians 3. God wants you to be holy and completely free from, for example, sexual immorality. So in the area of my sexuality, in the area of my thought life, in the area of my money life, in the area of my work life, in the area of my family life, in every single area, God wants me to be holy, to be different, to be set apart. That's what the word holy means. To be pure, to be different from everyone around me. I dare you to be holy, to live holy. I dare you to be different. I dare you to be a different kind of person when everyone around you is sad and miserable. There's a joy in you. There's a difference about you because you are not the same. I want us to spend a few moments around this idea of offering our body with this prayer. I'm going to pray it through and then we'll work with it a bit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love only what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Let's say it together one time. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love only what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. I'm going to have us spend a few moments in prayer, but you may want to leave your eyes open and or shut them and just say, Lord, let that be a reality in my life. My thoughts, my work. I love defending whatever's around me. Guard me that I may always be holy. When you are ready personally in a moment or two while we're praying, I want you to do something that will symbolize your desire to present yourself on this altar, to surrender, to dedicate yourself, to devote yourself, however we're going to call it. And I want you to take some action
whether it's standing, kneeling, raising your arms in surrender, whether it's turning your palms up, whether it's doing internally or externally, but some action that will reflect, Lord, I want today, on this day in February 2013, I want to present my body as a living sacrifice to you. Why don't you do that in these quiet moments? Whatever it is that symbolizes it for you. Lord, see us this morning. See us from heaven at your altar, presenting ourselves, not some calf or some pigeon, but our very lives, ourselves, that we might be wholly set apart for you, for your use. And Lord, when we get off the altar, encourage us to get back on the altar and to stay living sacrifices for you. Why don't you take a seat? So how do we slay this giant? I think this is going to be a tough one. That number one is probably something that we're going to have to do like over and over again. What else could we do? I'm going to suggest, secondly, that you need to renew your mind. And it's there in verse 2. If verse 1 was about offering your body, now it's about my mind. Here's how the verse goes, basically. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Being transformed by renewing of your mind. Here's how one translation describes it. Verse, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you'll be able to understand and determine what God really wants, what his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Change the way you think. Think different. He needs some workout, don't you think? I reckon there's some wires holding that thing up. Can a guy that size lift that up? But he needs some weight training if he's going to become that, right? He needs to work a bit. We need some brain workout if we're going to begin to think differently. We need godly training. It's not just going to happen. You know that you can play a CD through your headphones while you sleep at night, but you won't recall any of that in the exam. It's a myth. It doesn't work. Except Warwick, because he can do magic. We saw Friday night. But most of us, we have to actually learn and read and study the books, right? Godly training. Here's what the Bible says. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, it doesn't say your word have I hid in my cupboard with the other books. Then I won't sin against you. Uh-uh. You actually have to hide it. You need to take the knife and you need to make a hole in your heart, probably about yay length, and put the Bible in there. I hope it's not literal, because it's going to be messy, and don't do it with your white school shirt. It's obviously a metaphor, right? How do I hide God's word in my heart? I commit it to memory. I read it. I think about it. I pray about it. I'm on day 27 of a 90-day journey of reading the whole Bible. And it's a discipline. And every day, by that time I put my head on the pillow, I have read the 13 or 15 chapters for the day. And it is changing me from the inside out. It's a process. The more you get into the Word, the more the Word will get into you. Listen to this. There's nothing like the written Word of God. This is 2 Timothy 3 in the Message. For showing you the way of salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed. It's God-spoken. It's God-breathed. Even this new translation keeps that old phrase because it's been around a while. It is God literally spoken. It's his breath in the word. And it's useful for showing us truth. You want truth? Hide God's word in your heart. Exposing our rebellion. I don't really want that, but I need that. When I'm rebelling, it's in the word. Correcting our mistakes. The word will show me. Training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. If you're going to go into battle, you need training. 9-month training. South African soldiers had, and they were so well trained, the Israelis said that the greatest guerrilla warfare fighters in the world were what nation? South Africa. That 9-month training was so intense that they were trained up and shaped for the task. Or you've been trained and shaped for the task that God has for you. It's through the word. This book will keep you from sin, talking about the Bible, or sin will keep you from this book. So the more I'm in the Word, the more I'm not going to sin. But when I do sin and do something, you know, the last thing you want to do is read the Bible. Like if you're really hating on your sister or something, you don't really want to sit with the Bible because you know that the verse you're going to read is, love your sister. It's like, dude, God, I don't want to hear this now, right? I want to rip her head off. Your Bible has a message for you. Read me. Read me. I want you to eyeball that same person next to you and ask them, are you challenged by this Bible thing? What are you going to do this week? Are you going to do something different? What is your plan to read the Bible? Are you going to do something? If you're not, tell them, and then they can use my sword right there. What are you going to do with the Bible? Because it's the way that we renew our mind in this coming week. Shit. If you are a true friend, you're going to check in with them in the week and say, how's it going? Are you doing this? Don't make me bring Pastor Mark's sword. How do we slay the giants of conformity? Offer your body on the altar. Secondly, renew your mind. Third, use your hands. Use your hands. What's that all about? Well, you see, in Romans chapter 12, 10 to 13, it shows that we are transformed to serve. And when I serve, I'm less likely to be conformed, right? When I'm going God's way, when I'm doing what God wants, when I'm getting my hands dirty and I'm taking action, when I'm devoted, for example, this is verse 10, read it on the from the left side first, then the right, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, gets more practical, never be lazy but work hard, serve the Lord enthusiastically, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying, and get this, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. When you are reaching out to people, when you are taking action to do things to people, you are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. If you just stay seated on the couch, your head will shrink. It's time to get up off the couch. It's time to do something and maybe even start something. Maybe the thing that you need to do hasn't ever been done yet, but you can do it. You have within you the Holy Spirit who can help you do something. Maybe build an ark. A what now? An act of random kindness. Go and do something at school this week, you know? Buy someone something. Say an encouraging word. Practice some one anothering. Love one another. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Be careful of that at school. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. One idea can change the world around you. You have the power to live your dreams. Your dreams can change the world. Two hands, just you and one mate, can change the world and not be changed by the world. Maybe the question this morning as we head to the finish line is, will you make a difference? Or are you just going to drift down the river with the rest of the fish that are going to die? Or are you going to swim upstream? How do you slay the giant of conformity? Remind me of the three things. They are off your body, renew your mind. Thank you very much. Use your hands. There's a song that we sing downstairs, and I'm going to play it as you leave this morning. We will not conform. I was kind of holding thumbs. Please, 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 play the song. Plays the song. Listen to this. Set apart, victorious, righteous, glorious. Blood of the conquering king, it flows in us. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. We are yours. We are yours. We will not conform, even it be the norm. We will not bow down. We will bow only to the Holy One. Set our eyes on things above, move in faith and love. A holy chosen people rising up. Jesus is our vision. His kingdom come, our mission. We will not conform for such a moment we were born. We will not bow down. You can throw us in the fire now. What is that about? Do you know that Langa Mbonambi, one of our pastors at UJ, wrote this song? And it's based on the story where in the book of Daniel, the king creates this image of himself, a gold image, massive thing. And he says, at a certain time of the day or throughout the day, when the siren goes, you're all going to bow down to me. Well, three people obviously didn't get the message. And this fourth accuser, yeah, is saying, see, they're not bowing down. I told you they wouldn't bow down. This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king says, throw them in the furnace. And he heats that furnace up. And even the gods who throw them in are burned alive and killed. It is so hot in that furnace. When he looks, there's a fourth person, one like a son of God, walking around. And suddenly everyone knows, when the king calls them to come out, that this God is real, that they refused to conform. Ball's in your court. This giant is there for you. It's more normal to go the giant's way of conformation. But it's more bold. It's more godly. It takes more courage to go God's way and be transformed and to transform the world. Let's pray together. Lord, it is our desire, Lord, to be like you. To have done with the things of Egypt as we move through the Red Sea and into our promised land. And to not look back on those things, or when we are tempted by the evil one to flirt with things, Lord, to flee from it like Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us as we bring our bodies and day by day we dedicate them to you, as we renew our mind through the word of God, and as we use our hands to get out and to do service in this world to bring the change that you've wanted us to be. We pray, Lord, that this passage from Romans 12 would live with us this week, that we would continue to slay the giant of conformity. And Lord, that we wouldn't live under judgment, but Lord, that we would continually grow and mature to move away from the things of this world towards the things that are pure and in the light. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a couple weeks' time, we're going to be meeting another giant, unfortunately. There's two more to go in the series. And I'm sure one day we're going to meet the giant of shame that was prophesied about this morning. But the giant of procrastination, okay? That's not next week. Next week is our split service Sunday, as Kondwani mentioned to us. So God bless you as you go.